Recently, Whoopi Goldberg got in trouble on The View for saying that the Holocaust was not about race. We're going to talk about that right now with Rabbi Daniel Lappin, one of my favorite guests. He is the president of the American Alliance of Jews and Christians. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and this is Vocal Point. And Rabbi, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. It's always wonderful to be together with you.
Okay, good. All right, so what are your comments about Whoopi Goldberg and what happened with her and the fact that she's been suspended for 2 weeks? And by the way, this segment that you and I are doing, I hope to live, on the internet in perpetuity. So regardless of what happens, you know, when the suspension is over with her and The View, the issue itself is what's at stake here.
Yeah. Look, I'm no big fan of Whoopi Goldberg. I don't find her particularly funny or particularly talented. So I'm not a big fan. However, I very vehemently oppose this attempt to sort of silence her or placate those noisy Jews. You know, let's put her off the air for 2 weeks. That should quieten them down. It's terrible, you know, particularly since it's not that long ago since Whoopi Goldberg was trying to silence Bill O'Reilly and Meghan McCain. But still, I'm opposed to the whole thing. There's an old Jewish story, Jerry, of a guy who was married to two wives, one who was older than him and one who was younger than him. And the one who was younger than him used to sort of feel that, you know, as he was getting a bit grayer, people used to say to her, "What are you doing with such an old guy?" And the older wife, you know, she saw he still had plenty black hairs on his cheek, on his head, and on his beard. So people used to say, "Oh, you're a cradle robber." Sure, neither liked it. So each one got independently a great idea. In the nighttime, while her husband was sleeping, the one wife pulled out or cut off all his gray hairs, and that way he'll only look young. And then the older wife cut off all his black hairs. Neither wife knew what the other one was doing. And the end result is they're both married to a bald guy. And so I don't like the idea that you silence our people, now we'll silence your people, and you'll cancel ours, well, we'll cancel yours. At the end of the day, there's really not going to be a lot of vibrant debate or interesting conversation at all, because everybody's going to be scared of being canceled and having their careers ruined.
You know, it's interesting, too, when you think about the fact that the founders put together several different rights listed in the First Amendment. The first two, by the way, relating directly to religious freedom, which is extremely important. But freedom of speech, of course, is one of those rights. And surely they wanted and expected robust political debate. But that is often, you know, cut down these days in the day, you know, this time of cancel culture.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I don't think anyone cares about the Constitution. I really don't think to tell somebody it's not constitutional makes many people in the United States today think, well, we'd better change the Constitution then.
Yeah.
Because they're so absolutely convinced.
Yep, that's a good point. You know, Gary Bauer often says that the left doesn't want to win the debate. They want to shut the debate down.
I think there's a lot to be said for that. In other words, you know, back in the 1960s and 70s, there was the free speech movement. The left in those days was pushing free speech. What sort of movement are you a member of that every 60 years switches its positions entirely? I kind of like being part of a Judeo-Christian faith that's Bible-based, that is the same now as it was 2,000 years ago. I kind of like that.
Now, how about some comments about what Whoopi said and other comments that were made about the Holocaust, and just kind of put things in perspective. And by the way, I think it's important to point out with the Holocaust that, of course, Jews were the single largest victims, but the Nazis also went after Gypsies, and they went after Slavs, and they went after nonconformist Christians.
So I'm not interested in joining the victimology sweepstakes. You know, let me prove how much of a victim my folks were. No, yours were more of a victim. Oh, okay, well then I'll have to find something else that makes me more of a victim. Not really into that so much, and I think it's very destructive for the country. We used to be a country that celebrated winners, not losers. And I'm serious. I mean, we have now become a country that sees progress based on how much of a loser you can claim to be. and then you get the government to give you special rights. Not a way to move forward. Not a good thing for the country. I think the balkanization of the country in, I mean, we never were divided by Jews and Christians or blacks and whites or men and women or rich and poor. Those weren't the things that divided us. We were divided over ideas and issues. Primarily, I agree, we were divided by whether or not the Judeo-Christian value system was vital for our nation's survival, or whether it was a primitive obstruction to what they call progress, hence the progressive worldview. But it's a silly argument, you know. Were the Jews attacked by race? And Whoopi Goldberg said, "Oh, I didn't see any black people there." Well, you know, she just didn't look that hard. But so what? As I've told you before, Jerry, you know, there have been debates for centuries over are Jews a nation or a religion or a people or a race. Nobody has an answer to that. So the idea that I have the power to penalize somebody for using the wrong words, stop it already.
Huh. But I will say this. There's a scholar, Dr. Richard Weikartz, who is a very strong Christian, and he's written some important books, including From Darwin to Hitler and so forth. He's also written a book called Hitler's Religion, and I think it's important, and I like his research. I mean, what he shows is, obviously what Hitler and the Nazis did, you can only do if you dehumanize somebody in the first place, and then you treat them like that. And that's really what they obviously did with the Jews back in the Holocaust.
Look, it was terrible. And what the Muslims did to the Armenians in the first part of the 20th century, that was terrible. And what the Hutus did to the Tutsis in Africa, that was terrible. We Jews should not think we have a monopoly on suffering.
Interesting.
I'm sorry. I mean, yeah. I know this is for many Jews who've learned the game, I'm a traitor by saying this, but I'm telling the truth.
Well, you're not a traitor. I mean, you believe very strongly that this cancel culture is almost like cancer to the culture, in effect.
It's horrible. It's very, very dangerous. And do I think that hostility towards Jews because they're Jewish is horrible? Yes, I think it's absolutely horrible. I also think hostility to whites on the part of blacks because they're whites, I think that's pretty horrible too. And hostility to Asians because they're Asians, all horrible. You know, so let's stop all of this barbaric behavior. Let's not divide it up. Well, we care about these bad guys, but not those bad guys. And that's what the treatment of Whoopi Goldberg, I think, seems to wrongly suggest.
You used a phrase, stuffing a gag into people's mouths and trying to harm their careers doesn't win the argument. It actually prolongs it by breeding anger and resentment. Do you want to comment further on that?
Yeah, look, if I'm sure, you know, in a fairly long career of public visibility, using our mouths and our pens, writing and talking, you and I got to imagine that if we look really, really carefully, we'd find a couple of things we wish we hadn't said. I know it's true for me. And so now somebody digs into that and tries to destroy my life. What's the idea of that? And at the end of the day, I don't end up thinking, you know what, they got a point. I end up thinking they are evil, vicious people who I need to try and kill.
Yes, in other words, this kind of thing just perpetuates violence. Well, let me ask you a question. Since, in effect, what Whoopi Goldberg got in trouble for was something related to history. There is a battle over history in our time, and I feel very important, or I feel very very strongly about the Judeo-Christian roots of America, and yet yeah. I get a lot of critics who are like, oh, why are you defending Thomas Jefferson? He owned slaves. Well, yeah, but that shouldn't be the definition of who Thomas Jefferson was. And Thomas Jefferson actually worked towards ending slavery, but he wasn't successful, you know, in his own lifetime.
Look, it's a fundamental principle of all jurisprudence that you cannot indict somebody today for a crime that wasn't a crime when he committed it. Because you can't have a legal system like this where the police can knock on your door and say you parked in a parking meter that had 10 minutes left. We're carting you off to jail. What are you talking about? Well, yesterday we declared that to be a law. Fine. Well, then from today I won't do it anymore. But I always used to. Everybody used to do that. You can't have a system like that. And so to now attack people, or pull down statues, or destroy the history of the country because today we consider the things that were perfectly normal back then to have been horrible and criminal, you can't operate like that unless your intention is to destroy a country, which I suspect it really is.
Wow. As some of these people, you almost feel like, wow, why don't you go to the southern border and all these people who are risking their lives to try and come here, why don't you just say, hey, stop, this country stinks and it's always stunk from the very beginning.
Yeah. No, it's pretty awful.
Okay, what do you want to say about the curriculum and the history? And I'm sure you're familiar with the 1619 Project. Again, we're dealing with this battle over history.
I mean, it's laughable that such an ignorant woman can be elevated to a place of such prestige. You got to ask yourself, what else is going on in this country that we aren't aware of? But, I mean, that's absurd, you know, and to place politics and utopian dreams ahead of facts and reality and history, that doesn't say very much about where we are. And it's only going to be a matter of time that it becomes obvious that while we worry about this rubbish, the Chinese are worrying about calculus and physics and optics and electronics. And I think we're looking to see they're eating our lunch economically, and that's going to continue.
Do you think the battle over history matters? Is it worth?
It's crucial. Fighting? Yes, it's absolutely crucial. And Marxists have always known this, that they win the war by separating a people from their source and their origins. Okay. And today, it's not only in high school, but it's even in college, that there are people who literally go through college without learning about the Civil War, without learning about anything excepting how bad the country was. Speak to people. I do it all the time. Speak to people who've gone through government educational systems and say, what happened in August 1945? Well, America won the war in the Pacific. But if you ask them, what they'll tell you only is how evil America was by dropping bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in August 1945, because that killed a lot of people unnecessarily. It just shows how barbaric the United States is. This is what you hear from young American scholars of history.
How do we turn this around?
I do believe that's a large part of what you're doing and why I support you, because the reality is that, you know, the first great religious awakening in America is what won the Revolutionary War, which was really fueled from the churches of colonial, from the pulpits of colonial churches. And there was a second religious awakening in America, which is what brought about abolition. Let's face it, it was devout, seriously committed Christians who ended slavery in America. That's a reality. Never mind what the 1619 Project, grandiose name for a piece of rubbish. And what we need is a third religious reawakening, a reawakening of large numbers of fervent, believing, committed Christians. And nothing else will do it, in my view. That is what we'll be able to. And we saw little bits of it starting in the school district in Loudoun County in Virginia and a few other places. Little by little, parents will get the courage and the enthusiasm and the support, the moral support. And I think that will come from the revitalized churches of America. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay, we have about 40 seconds left. Do you think, in a sense, Whoopi Goldberg just kind of stepped on a third rail or whatever? It's almost like what Rush Limbaugh used to always say: one false word, and boom, you could get a lot of trouble.
Yeah, look, she is about as relevant as the bowl of imperfectly strained spinach I had for dinner last night. In 2 weeks' time, she's going to be back and normal, and the 7.5 people who don't have a life who watch The View are going to be back watching The View, and this will change absolutely nothing.
Rabbi Dan Lappin. Is it RabbiLappin.com or RabbiDanielLappin.com?
RabbiDanielLappin.com.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.